So I learned an interesting fact about mussels. Did you know they tend to...
Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. Hey, what is... Why do you... You've got this twinkle in your eye today. What is this?
Oh,
it's like a literal twinkle in your eye.
Get that out of there. It's glitter.
Glitter? Why do you have... Why do you have glitter all over... Wait, there's more. It's all over you. Why do you have glitter on you?
Well, I returned to work the door for the first time.
You worked the door.
Night. Yeah, and so I'm... It's secondhand glitter.
Secondhand glitter.
From hugs.
Yeah.
Hug glitter.
You got to be careful. That secondhand glitter, it'll get... Oh, wait. Wait a minute. We're rolling.
Oh, all right. Well, then let's roll. Well, I'm Rich.
And I'm Mark.
And we are
two guys on Block Island.
What shall we do with Shark Sailor? What shall we do? All right. So there's no two bones about it. This is our... stories from the door that we've been talking about doing for years.
Door stories.
Door stories.
As in war stories.
As in war stories about from the door.
War stories
ID
from the door.
ID checking and the interaction with various characters of all levels
stripes.
Of morale.
Of all stripes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and it's interesting. You and I, Richard, we've been waiting to do this episode for a long time, right?
Yes.
Because it's important because when you and I were working the door, as we've told our listeners before, that's where we came up with the idea to do this podcast.
Yeah, just shooting the shit and, you know, and thinking maybe, you know, maybe we could do a podcast.
Right. We have so many.
I was like, what's a podcast? Like, it's just, you know, people just talking about nothing or something. And I was like, we do that all the time.
Right. You're like, basically, so we just like put microphones on ourselves and like do what we're doing here now.
Record all the stuff that my wife ignores when I'm saying, you know, and maybe other people will find it more interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that happens out there. People are like, your husband, he's so funny. And she's like, said that before. She's, you know.
Well, we've also brought in some big guns to help us out with this, this episode.
Our first return to the seat, I think.
I believe so. Yeah. First time back. Our good buddy and captain of the ship here at Captain Nick's, Chris Willie. What's up, Chris?
How you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing great.
We're doing
ready
great.
For some door stories?
Yeah, I think you gotta actually record an episode at the door if you thought of this at the door.
Oh,
that's actually a really good
idea. That's a really good idea.
Yeah.
I'd like to do the before and afters, who like have somebody sit down for 5 minutes on their way in and then after their third margarita, sit down for 5 minutes on the way out. On my list is the transformation that happens.
That's a mini series.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, that's a whole nother podcast. Yeah, actually,
it is actually.
Well, listen. Just before we get to the stories on the door, I want to touch base that our friend Chris Willie here. Has decided, you know, there's a lot going on with Steve Filippi. A lot of people are upset with him being running unopposed. There's actually an empty seat. And Chris Willie has been brave enough to throw his name in the hat as a write-in candidate. So he missed the deadline for, you know.
Yeah.
And so essentially, our listeners who don't know, there are three council seats at large available for election. And we only have two candidates running. And we have Martha Ball and we have Steve Filippi. And in light of the recent things happening, there's been sort of a let's get some other people in.
I would call it a grassroots movement to make sure that Steven does not get elected to town council, because that would be bad for this town.
Well, yeah, I think
in my opinion.
Yes. Yes.
In my opinion. So Chris is going to run.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when the ballot was released, actually, that decision was made the next day for me.
Okay.
Nice.
And I contacted our Democratic Town Committee chair. I guess if he puts names forward to the state by 4 o'clock that day, you can actually get back on the ballot. So when I only saw two at large, one of them Steve, I was like, I'm going to put my name on. Unfortunately, something didn't connect upstate. So myself and Neil weren't able to get onto the ballot officially.
And do you know Neil's last name?
Murphy.
Neil Murphy. Okay.
Which I understand he's running as a write-in as well. So.
And there's no promises, but I talked to Mark. I'm going to reach out to Neil and see if he'll come on the show. I think this is his third year. They acquired the Old Town Inn.
Yeah.
And they've been running that inn for the last, this is the third summer maybe?
I believe so.
I think it's the third summer. So I think he'd be a good, you know, business owner in the town. And,
yeah.
you know, doing it right.
It'd be great to just hear what he has to say.
Yeah, I'm hoping we get Neil to come on. Hear his Block Island story as well. And,
sure.
And then, you know, a little candidate stuff. But thank you, Chris, for doing that.
Thank you.
Believe me, it's my pleasure.
Yeah. And the way to write your name specifically on the ballot
is going to be Chris Willie, W-I-L-L-I.
Oh, you are. You're gonna officially change your name to make it easy.
Well, I'm going to change it. Yeah, the way it's right now, it's Christopher A. Willie. That's too long. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's the A stand for?
Don't.
Do you really want to know?
You don't have to tell me.
I'm not going to.
Arse. A-R-S-E.
Arse. Asshole.
Christopher Arse.
Christopher Asshole.
Whatever you want. Yeah.
No. Well, if you don't want to tell us, we don't know. We'll just leave that. Leave that as art on the wall.
I don't care. I don't care what your middle name is. I just want you to get that goddamn seat.
Yeah, and I think I think you did a good job last time.
Well,
I do too.
Thank you. I mean, if there's more that are writing in, even better. Like, the goal is, you know.
But I mean,
we don't want to dilute
the pool, but we also want good candidates, and I don't think Steve is a good candidate.
Yeah. So. Well, I think we've established that.
Yeah. You know, and clearly the Block Island voter is on the dumb side because I got a lot of requests to run as a write-in.
people have been coming up to me being like, why doesn't Rich run?
I've been asking you to run for 6 years.
Yeah. He's like, away from me. Run away.
Run away.
Yeah. Get away from me. Yeah. But
anyway, good luck, Chris.
Thanks.
We got you, man.
Maybe in the future, it would be nice to form like a team on a ballot that we hope to, because that's always the frightening part as to who you know. It's like who you get stuck. You're the last one getting a seat on the bus. Who's sitting next to you? You know.
And I'm not afraid of that part, but yeah, agreed.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
It's a strategy.
Yeah, it is a strategy. So, all right. Thanks for that little piece of info. And this was a great podcast, folks. Thanks for all listening.
Bye.
All right. Let's get into it.
Door stories.
Where do we want to start?
Oh my God, let's start at the beginning. I mean, the three of us here, obviously our frame of reference is Captain Nick's.
Yes.
You know, that's where we've done our thing.
Well, I used to bounce at Kittens years ago.
Oh, right. That's true.
Yeah. I worked the door with Graham Jones and John Bates. And, you know, it's one of those things where I didn't apply for the job. Annie Hall was like, hey, Willie, you're working the door tonight and I need you Wednesday and Saturday. I'm like, okay.
Uh-huh.
I'll do it.
Okay.
You get
half price drinks, by the way. Oh, okay.
Well, now I'll definitely do it. Yeah.
You know, in your 20s, you're like, just saved me thousands of dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Thousands. Millions.
Still one of the appeals in my 50s. I like that, you know?
Yeah, that's a nice perk.
That's true.
Yeah. Well, let's start here. That's a good place to start. Let's talk about the old days working the door.
Okay.
I don't know
too much about that. But,
you're talking the early 90s, right?
Mid 90s when Ed ran Kittens and, you know, it was Annie Hall was in charge. And it was back when Danielle and Summer and Jerry Riker were all the bartenders, you know.
The crew. But like back then, and specifically in terms of working the door.
Yeah.
I mean, I was, you know, again, 90, I didn't work the door. I was a bouncer, a lowly bouncer at first. But, you know, eventually, I think late in a couple, 3 years, I ended up doing some door shifts. And, I mean, times were different here on Block Island back then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were still known as the party place. Mm-hmm. And we were the place where you came and just got wasted. And like, we were still a cheap, quote unquote, vacation for people.
Right.
So, I mean, I remember, again, you know, at Nick's, we'd have like four fights a night.
It was
like,
guaranteed.
You know, you were definitely breaking up a fight that night if you went into work.
Yes.
And, you know, I feel like we weren't as litigious a society as we are now, necessarily, maybe slightly less litigious. And
I think we were definitely less litigious. In fact, you know, most of the time, after all said and done, you see the same guys in the bar the next night buying each other a drink.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
But I mean, in terms of also having like, and then cell phone cameras and things like that.
Right.
So, you know, I what I mean is I don't feel as though like, you know, the cops really were in the bars were that, I'm not going to say we weren't concerned about fake IDs and underage kids getting in, but it just wasn't as big a deal then.
Accountability and liability has grown.
Right.
Too.
That's what I'm trying to. Yeah. Exactly. That's what I mean.
And I think that the, you know, I hate to talk money, but the cost of Block Island has changed the clientele.
Absolutely.
You know, over time.
Yeah.
yeah. as we've seen by certain other establishments hosting right. free events where yeah. all you got to do is be able to afford a boat ticket.
Right.
And
right.
you know, you can get over here and get wasted for the day.
Again, my metric was always that, you know, back in the day, you'd see a lot of Harley Davidson t-shirts coming through the door. And then as the years went on, it was more like popped collared polo shirts.
Yes.
That's, you know, not no slag on people that own Harleys. I mean,
I know exactly.
Ride on a Harley
it's,
too.
It's, yeah. But, you know, that's why I was kind of taken aback with the comment that was made at a town hall meeting about, and I think Martha Ball clarified it, like, this place is not as bad off as everybody's making it to be when it comes right. to behavior. Like,
it's not.
I remember the 90s. Like,
yeah.
if you had a weekend where there wasn't at least four or five fights between the two
establishments, Nicks and Kittens, right, yeah.
that was uncommon.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a good weekend. That was a peaceful weekend.
Right.
yeah. I mean, that
and,
is.
And, yep. You know, now it's an anomaly.
It
you
is.
Know, it's a different world, different. Environment now.
Yeah.
So it's not as, it's nothing like, and then remind the 80s, which I wasn't here for, but I hear the 80s were nuts.
That's what I hear too.
So.
Well, and the one thing I can speak for as a, not only as an employee, but from an outside point of view is for the last well over a decade, the door at Nick's has been really managed by the owner, you know?
Yeah.
And then oh, yeah. until I came along and, you know, Mark finally was like, well, maybe I can get out of here for pay. Yeah, and I was like, sure.
But I mean,
but I really? Held the same level of responsibility and, you know,
you were one of the few people. And I mean, there might have been one other person I felt comfortable leaving there with me not being there.
Right.
But you were really the first guy that I was like, okay, I can literally step away and not have to work the door and I can be okay with it.
Yeah. But well, yeah. thank you. But yeah. And well, but I mean, you. That level of the owner's
yes.
interest, you yeah. know, I think, and again, it brings me, you know, I've got a little list here to work off of, you know, I call it the filter, and that's where problems get avoided is there.
Right.
It's like, you know, you can tell. You can tell. Well, what did I call it last night? Do you want to play a little round to pick the problem? Like,
yes.
you
know,
you place yeah. bets on the way in just by the way their demeanor entering, you know.
Yes.
You almost yeah. wish you could deny them, but you don't have a grounds to do it. Like, you just know.
You know.
You right. know that somebody's going to
be. Sir, you look like you're going to be a problem
later. Yeah. I'm going to go 90%. We're going to yeah. be, you know.
Yeah.
Last summer, I only did, I think, one or two shifts. And the one night I worked, the guy walks through the door. He was okay. Yeah. But I was just like, there's something about him. And within 45 minutes, it wasn't even like 9:30.
Yeah.
But the band hadn't even started and got the tap from the bartender. Yeah. Said, can you got to get this guy
yeah.
out of here.
Yeah.
You
know?
And,
yeah.
you know, it's yeah. like, so I think that filtering process.
It is.
You know, of whether they're already intoxicated.
It's right. important.
It's important because that's the, you know, keeping it's, the sand out of the sandwich.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's such little tiny things sometimes. Like, you know, you overhear someone, two people back in line saying, oh, yeah, this fucking place. Yeah, oh, no, I was here before. The drinks suck here. Oh, this, you yeah. know, you hear someone bitching about, or just, you know.
Or talking about the fight they were in three nights before.
Yes.
At another bar.
Exactly. You know? Something like that.
You know, and yep. And I think that filtering process is really big. You
it
know?
Is.
It's such a avoid, you know, just avoid them.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just got to do it.
Yeah.
And it's a tricky, it takes a little finesse to learn in the beginning. It took me a little finesse.
It does, but, you know, I find a lot of the times it's usually one in a group of three or four and you're like, hey, you know,
yeah,
your buddy's got to go home. And they're like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, exactly.
We've been trying to yeah. ditch him for the last 2 hours. Yeah.
Like, there's plenty of cabs here. Let's put him in a cab. Like, yeah. You know, we try to help facilitate it.
Yes.
You know,
and right.
That seems yeah. to. Yeah. To work best.
You know, you just say, hey, go home and tell him to go home, take a nap, have yeah. a couple glasses of water yeah. and see, you know, and yeah. you know he's not going to wake up from the nap that night. So you're, you know, but ultimately, you know, you
yeah.
just say it like that. And, you know,
my buddy Drew used to just go over to the parking lot at the Big and sleep in the back of his truck. You see his feet sticking out of the bed. It's like 9:30 and we're like, all right, he'll be done at 11. He'll be good.
Yeah. But
the holding tank.
The tank. But it can be hard. I mean, it can be difficult sometimes. I mean, again, spotting people who are obviously already inebriated walking up to the door.
Absolutely.
Now, some, it's like they might as well be wearing a sandwich board that says, I'm yes. fucking wasted right now.
Yeah. Right.
Because
right.
they're like, whoa. But
oh, there's some chameleons in the movie.
I'm a chameleon.
They save it up to get to the door, get through the door, and then they let it go.
They will ping pong and pinball off of every curb and tree on the way from Kitten's back or wherever to here. And then as soon as they get within sight of the door, they like, whoop, pull it together, walk up. Hello, how are you? Hand the ID. And then they don't say anything.
$10.
They're just standing there. You charge them. They go in. And then it's like,
I'm assuming you can go find them. Are you trying to order a drink? I'm assuming, by the way.
Yeah. I'm sorry, sir. We don't speak that language, whatever it is.
Yeah.
We don't speak drunk here.
I always feel bad to the bartender. I'm like, I'm sorry. He put on a real good face coming through the door. I that's not the guy that just came through five minutes ago.
This guy's the Marlon Brando of drunks.
Yeah.
He's just like acted his way right through it.
The silence is often the key, too. You know, you got a group of guys, and there's one just standing there dead silent.
Yeah.
You know, and you're like, is he silent because he doesn't talk much or because he can't?
God, you know, sometimes, though, you think you got one. Like when people, I had one guy come up and he was like, you know, staggering. And I was like, dude, I don't know. Seems like maybe, you know, you had one too many. Maybe this isn't the right place. He goes, what are you talking about? And I'm like, and he was talking perfectly. And then I'm like, oh, God. Yep. He had like a limp. He had like a knee operation or something. And it was like, oh, sorry.
This happened. This happened, I think, 3 weeks ago where the gentleman actually couldn't hear.
Oh, okay.
But he was trying to talk to Brent.
And he was hearing impaired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, you know.
Yeah, it was a miscommunication.
It sounded like he was drunk.
Yes, of course.
And, you know, it's
not coming in.
Right.
And his buddy's like, the guy can't hear.
He goes, the guy's deaf. He's deaf.
Oops.
Yeah.
Sorry, sir. Did you say I'm sorry in sign language?
No.
We'll have to maybe work on that. A translator.
Yeah.
There's plenty of things we try and do to screen them out, but inevitably some will sneak in, you know.
Or, you know, they look okay because they've only had three drinks and then one more is all it takes.
That's the other thing.
It's the light switch.
Yeah.
The light switch.
The light switch.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It is amazing.
It is amazing.
I don't have a light switch. I have a dimmer. It just...
That's accurate I'm on the dimmer.
Slowly dim down as the evening goes on.
Yeah, the slow fade.
Yeah.
Yes.
You'll find me sleeping in a chair before ping-ponging off the walls. Like,
yeah.
Oh, when he says that, it reminds me of Christmas. Christmas with the Willies.
Mommy, why is Daddy in the chair already? Oh, man. Well,
too many cookies and milk.
Too many, Well, the other thing that is, you know, obviously an issue are the fake IDs, right? So this is the big thing.
Here we go.
Right?
This is it, yeah.
Because now, look, fake IDs... A lot of us had them when we were younger, right? And the way you used to get them is you would meet some shady people on a college campus or something through some friends. You go to somebody's house in the basement and there would be, you know, some guys with like a board, you know, like a 4 foot long by 3 foot.
Calling me shady?
You're
calling me shady.
A little bit.
Like in Vegas Vacation. He's like, here, hold this. And puts your head through the hole.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Arts
and crafts style. Yes. And then, you know, these guys are making them with like irons and laminates you know, all that stuff. But that was back in the day.
The good old days.
Yeah. And like, it was hard to get a really good fake ID.
Yeah.
You could pretty much tell.
And as we said, you probably slipped through with a worse fake ID. You know, if you had an ID, you're good.
ID.
Yeah.
And again, back in the day too, with, you know, a lot of bars, just as long as you had an ID, they didn't really care.
Right.
Some certain places, you know, they're like, okay, so you're 21, good enough. Okay, Carl Yastrzemski, come on in. Yeah, give him a baseball card.
All right.
McLovin.
But nowadays,
McLovin.
Yeah, McLovin. Yeah, perfect example.
And I
McLovin.
Gotta tell you guys, I'm not really 21. We know that.
Oh my God. You know, I mean, how many people at the door? Here's a quick funny story. You know, like, you know, the McLovin ID?
Yes.
You know, they're selling those in like gas stations. I mean, how many times have I, at least
this year,
10 times?
Three.
You got three McLovins this year?
Yeah.
It would be like, you know, 5, 6, 10 times a year, especially right after the movie came out and they were making those. Every, you know, you get a McLovin. The first time I saw it, I was like, oh, this is great. Hilarious. Second time, I'm like, oh, yeah, good one. Third time, fourth. By the fifth one, I'm like, yeah, dude, it's old. That's old. Yeah, it's not
just
funny.
Just keep it. It's fake.
Keep it.
Yeah. Those tend to be the But I find those are the people that are, so I find there's the people with the fakes that are, they truly get angry and upset.
Yes.
Over it. And, you know, we may get deeper into that. And then there's the people that know that they're playing the game and they just got called.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
they're like, all right, fine. And they walk right. away. And they're the smart ones that ordered three at a time online.
Yes. Right. Well, you know? So the, back to the point is that the IDs these days. Now, yeah. here's how the kids are getting them these days. So basically, an underage person will take a selfie or a photo of themselves against a blank wall. And they upload it. There's a website. I don't know which one.
Several websites
out there. And I believe a lot of them are in China. And you upload your photo and all of your actual information, your name, your real address, everything's real.
Except for the birth date.
So remember the days you had to like memorize a fake address and a fake name and, your horoscope sign for whatever.
Yeah.
Those days are over now. So the kids don't even have to do that much legwork.
Or they do the siblings, their older siblings. So right. it is a.
Those are the tricky ones.
Those are the tricky ones because they'll run as real.
As real ID.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's. And they're very. These IDs are more and more sophisticated.
They are.
Every year.
They
are. Oh, yeah, yeah. And thanks to Mark, we just gave a nice tutorial on how to get one.
Well,
no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's yeah. And there isn't continuity between every state because there's some states that are still using lamination.
Yep.
And then there's other states that are using high-tech holograms and all this other crap.
Yeah. Right.
And so, I mean, I guess in a sense, when you keep getting, you know, New Jersey over and over again, you're like, huh, something's up.
That's right. The popular one.
Because New York is no longer easily faked or something.
I always wonder why they don't just come out with a federal driver's license.
I thought they were trying.
You
know,
they should.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you can drive your car in any state.
But the sophistication level is like at an all-time high. And
yeah.
Right.
I think, Rich, you said a lot of it a couple years ago when you came and talked to the kids.
Yeah.
It was body language.
Yep.
And ask questions. And now it's, you know, you have your, there are some IDs that have the tells. We're not going to tell the tells, but there are.
Right.
There are certain states that.
Yep.
Yeah.
Something to do with the picture or a little thing. Yeah, yeah. We know some of the secrets.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm not going to say which state, but one of them for a while, the thing to look for was the cactails or the, there was some kind of plant on it that was,
and
it was like something missing. And I don't remember the details, but yeah, I would say 90% for me was, eyeing them up and you get it. Now you do have occasionally people get nervous, but it's, you know, they shouldn't because if they're 21 and they're coming in legally, you know, they shouldn't get nervous. I've made a couple of bad calls and it was a real ID, but you know,
that's gonna happen.
Yeah. But I like the conversation and the body language and, you know, it says a lot.
But even before that, so for our listeners, you know, the way we even door guys even know that an ID or, you know, how are we supposed to know that what a Minnesota ID looks like, right? Well, there's a book that the beverage distributors, it usually came from, I think, one of the...
Usually liquor. Budweiser distributed, and then there's another one that you can actually, that's a lot better than that one. That's like $20.
And that is so basically it's a little booklet with every state's ID in it and the different versions that are still valid at this point. And then it's little... sidebars with, like, you know, this a real ID will have, you know, like Connecticut, the oak tree hologram and that. And then the other line of defense for the liquor license holders is it's another book, which is kind of like just an added layer. So if you get an ID.
Used it last night.
Did you use it last night?
Yeah.
So what this is, it's a book with a standard. It's basically, if you get an ID and you just can't tell, the kid looks like they're 21, but the ID, you haven't seen many Florida IDs. And this one, you're just not sure. There's a little booklet with an affidavit, basically, that you have the patron sign.
You did your due diligence and they're going to.
And they're attesting, basically, that we're 20. Now, a lot of times I remember whipping this book out and telling people to sign and they'll be like, I don't want to sign. What is this we're signing? Yeah. We're like, listen, it's nothing. You just sign the book. All it is saying is that you are here.
Oh, so it is fake.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But that way, later on in the night, let's say this kid goes and gets blacked out and goes and wraps himself around a telephone pole in his car. And they're like, you know, find out that the kid's 18 or 19 and the cops come or whoever and is like, why was this kid drinking? Or you're like, well, he showed me this ID that said he was 21. And here, he signed this book. You know, so it's like,
and that's what bothers me about the law now, is because it's a felony to duplicate or a real ID, which is a federal, you know, document.
Yeah,
and if that's found on a kid, that
they don't get any, nothing happens to them.
And that's the frustrating part from an establishment owner, is the what doesn't happen,
right?
If they actually do have a fake ID and they're caught with it. Like,
I think it might be the case where, I could be wrong, but I think that the penalty is so stiff that a lot of law enforcement and people feel like this could ruin this kid. This could be a permanent, you know, if they're 19, they're an adult.
Yeah, but at the same token, it could ruin an establishment ownership.
I agree.
I've had this discussion with, you know, former Chief Moynihan and police officers out here. It's like, if the town, after the discussions that happened in the past month, are truly serious, I think it's something to the effect that, you know, it's like when the state troopers come out, everybody starts putting their seatbelts on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because a couple, you know, oh, hey, Pete got pulled over.
Right.
You know, he got a ticket.
Yeah.
And he's got to pay it. Well, all you got to do is find a couple of these kids with fake ID, and word gets out. Like, it's not worth the $1,000 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And set a precedent. But, you know, what do we get to do? We keep them.
Yeah.
Wallpaper the bathroom with them.
Well, but again,
I've been selling them.
But
hey, you look a lot like this girl. You want to buy this?
but the reality is that of the laws that are made, you know, against the business owner, if you
totally
serve a minor and something happens, there's an accident, the litigation that you are open to, and you know, they could take your liquor license.
Yeah.
And the penalty.
Not in this town.
Yeah, right.
And my concern is with the fact that these IDs are so sophisticated now.
Yeah.
That, I mean, police officers have a hard, you know, we had a kid with a license that, guy at the door thought it wasn't real, said sorry, you know, and the guy's like, well, I'm going to call the cops. And he's like, okay, go ahead. So he did.
Yeah.
And the police officer came and he's like, it ran back as good, but I can't tell you if it's truly good because
it's
of the
so
sophistication
good.
Of the fakes.
Right.
Like, it's his information. Is everything checks out?
Yeah.
You know,
and a lot of the checks.
And I can't tell you, I'm not going to tell the bar owner that it's good.
Right.
But I can't tell you it's not good.
He's going to let whoever he wants in.
Right.
And if he doesn't want you in, but.
Right.
And some of the, even with the fakes, they got some balls. Like, I've seen them fight right to bring the cops.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah. Then, oh yeah.
The cops pull up though, and you're like, this gentleman, hey, where'd he go?
Yeah. Yeah. And then there's those
they
ones.
Like call your bluff. Like you're not going to call the cops. Yeah. And the minute you look and you see him round in the corner.
If they are that adamant about it, I'm like, you feel free to call them. We'll be right here.
Yeah.
You wait for them.
Yeah.
We're right here. It's your ID's right here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're not cutting it up. It's going to be right here.
Because the law reads, now you're not allowed to, if you have an ID that you believe is possibly fake, you're not allowed to say to this person, I'm taking this ID and keeping it. The way the law reads, at least the way it used to, was that you are able to hold the ID for a quote unquote reasonable amount of time until the authorities can come and inspect it. Now, reasonable amount of time, that could be an hour, could be 2 hours, who knows. And generally speaking, like most kids with fake IDs would, you know, would just abandon it at the door and walk away.
Right.
And if they abandon the ID, then you keep it because they've left it there.
Yeah. They don't, they're not
right.
Yeah. Ready to go through the process of trying to prove that it's real.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know,
now hang on 1 second because, you know, there's another dynamic at play these days.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to kids trying to get into bars. Now, when I was a kid, if I had a fake ID and it got taken from me and my parents found out, I would have been grounded probably. And the last thing my parents would do would be to help me get the ID back, which is what's going on these days.
Yeah.
So this is happening. And at this point, we've got another surprise guest.
Yeah.
That you didn't know was sitting here this whole time.
Yep.
We've been waiting for this moment.
Yep.
Kristen Kiley from Yellow Kittens is with us. Hi, Kristen.
Hi.
And yeah. Are you excited?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, stories from the doors.
Stories from the doors. So, you know, Kristen, like when you were a kid, would your parents ever try and help you sneak into a... I mean, your parents, your dad owned bars when you were growing up, so you probably didn't have to sneak in. But would your parents ever help you sneak into a bar?
No.
All right.
No.
Yeah. Like,
it's a tough one, though, because you're talking about a 20-year-old. They're an adult.
Right.
You know, they may have just done 2 years in the service and they're home on leave. And, you know, it's why I get it. But I also, they got to understand it's a game. Make your move. We're going to make ours. And that's that. But when they get all, I don't know if I should tell this story or not, but
tell it.
Let's just say there's a family and the mother, that family would go out to lunch and the daughter was 20 and had a fake ID. And when she would whip it out, and we, you know, this family would never go anywhere where they knew the place. You know what I mean? They would only go, this was like traveling and stuff like that. And the mother would actually get all, like, it looked like she was using the fake ID because she would get really, like, Maddie, you know, she was 20. Obviously, we were cocktailing around the house. You know, we considered her an adult and she was allowed to have, you know, beer and wine with dinner. And then we'd go somewhere and it sucked because she had a, you know, not drink. So she all of a sudden whips out this fake ID and Patty, you know, would get you know, and, but never, you know, I guess we're picking and choosing, you know, we would never do it to kittens. You didn't do it on Block Island.
I think Patty was concerned that then she had to drive for the night.
Yeah.
And Maddie was no longer.
No, it was me. It was me.
Yeah.
But the point is, you know, you couldn't get away with it if you grew up on Block Island because everybody knew you. Knew you.
But I mean, I remember I'm trying to think back, like when this started happening, this phenomenon of parents, like, and again, the reason we're bringing this up is again, with everything in the news lately and Block Island getting dragged through the mud on a national level about being a party place and, you know, so disruptive. And, you know, one of the reasons we're doing this episode is to try and give our listeners some idea of the challenges that liquor license holders have out here.
And the responsibility that you guys put up.
You know? Right. Yeah. And it's not just the fact that the IDs are getting more and more sophisticated. It's not just the fact that, you know, it's easier for the kids to get them. It's also the fact that you have parents that are enabling their kids to do this and supporting their behavior. I feel like it was probably 8 to 9 years ago is when I first felt like I first received my first bribe from a parent who like came back to Nick's the next day and was like, hey, how you doing? Can I talk to the manager? I'm like, yeah, I'm him. And they were like, yeah, so look, my kid got their fake ID taken here last night. You know, can I get it back? And I'm like, what? I'm like, no, you can't get it back. Yeah. And he's like, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? And, you know, guy pulls out like $50 and I'm like, no, like what's happening? Kristen, you must have experienced this.
Yeah. I've experienced that same thing
where
people have offered money or I had somebody, there was a night a couple of weeks ago, and it was only about 10 o'clock, so it wasn't a full bar. And somebody, one of the bouncers took someone's fake ID. I guess it was actually a legitimate license, but it was the brother's license.
Yeah,
it wasn't his license. So the father came back, pretended I was just sitting in there watching the music, and he told me he was a police officer and that he wanted the license back. And I just said, well, I'm sorry. That's not our policy. We confiscate. I understand it may be a legal license, but you can pick it up tomorrow at the police station. I'll bring it there and you can discuss it with them. And he actually was fine with that. A little bit later that evening, so there was another woman that came in and wanted to see the manager. And she was upset because I think it was a similar situation where, well, there was one fake ID and one real ID. And I think they may have taken both because it seemed like they were both underage. But she was so angry that, you know, she wanted to see the manager. So I went to talk to her and she's just was screaming at the top of her lungs. And she called me a stupid fucking bitch and that she was going to beat me up.
And that smoothed things right over.
Yeah. And you were like, oh, well, since you put it that way, here's the ID back. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You're so right.
Yes. So then she ended up calling 911 three times in front of me to say that there was a problem at Yellow Kittens. And she,
Nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, you know,
this is next level.
911.
911.
Right.
And I tried to tell her, I'm like, you know, ma'am, we have the police coming. If you just step outside with me, I'm sure we can work this all out, you know. And she was so crazy, and she was just like wanting to beat me up. I'm going to beat you up. I was like, okay, well, let's come outside again.
Just do it outside.
Stop screaming at the top of your lungs.
Again, a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Threaten me.
You know. Yeah. And so I guess, you know, the police did come and they sorted it out. But, you know, it was quite dramatic. And, you know, luckily the place wasn't full, but it was still like just a little out. The kids, I think, were actually mortified. This was their aunt, I guess, that was doing it. And they were like, I'm so sorry.
Right. Isn't that weird?
Yes.
And then there's that where like the kids are like more like freaked out about it than the parent, you know.
Well, you know, the parents are then, you know, they want to go out to Nick's or Kittens, and the whole family can go except for the one kid who's, you know, still 20.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, I've gotten that speech.
Oh, you're
ruining my family's vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Have you guys gotten that one before?
Yeah, yeah.
You're ruining everything.
And now, on the bright note, I've also had this one. I've also had the dad look at the daughter or the son and be like, you got busted.
See you back at the boat.
I watch. Here's your cab fare. Yeah. I'll see you later. And they come on in and have a great night. Never question nothing.
They come in and they go, boy, you guys are good.
You appreciate it.
Yeah.
All right, here's a random question. Does anyone think the drinking age should maybe be a little bit lower?
I've always thought that.
Yeah. So I've thought a lot about that over the past 3 years, and it's tough because if you can be in the military and do a tour, I think if you have a military ID, drink at 18.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, personally, that's always kind of been my bottom line.
Because there's a level of responsibility that you already have to have to be in the military.
Well, let's face it.
I cannot say that any 18-year-old or 19-year-old should be allowed to drink.
No, but I've seen 19-year-olds that behave better drunk than a 30-year-old. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a tricky one.
It is a tricky one. And I think there's a reason why I went to 21. But I think if you're going to take kids into service, you know, armed services at 18, that military ID should get you a drink.
Well, I also,
personally, but that's, you know,
I also think we've come a long way with educating.
Watch enrollment in the military skyrocket.
I think we've come a long way with education of younger people on drinking and driving and stuff. You know what I mean?
Yes, certainly.
You know, I think everyone's learned that now.
Absolutely.
And let's not lie. I mean, this is my conspiracy theory, and I think if you did your homework, you'd agree, and maybe you already would. They hid behind the DWI numbers, but ultimately, it's insurance companies lobbying to change laws. I mean, that's about every with every good law that's supposedly good for us and helps us be safer. There's an insurance company behind it.
Yeah.
That, you know, we can drop claims by $600 million if we
get behind fake IDs and penalizing the people that have them. Because what Kristen just said is like, we see it all the time.
All the time.
All the time.
It's crazy.
And I was just astonishing, you know, like, and you do get. You get the family that comes in and chuckles. Sucker.
Here, go get some ice cream.
Yeah. And then the flip side is you take the kid's ID and mom loses her mind.
Oh, yeah.
Or dad gets all chesty with you.
It's amazing. And then the bribes, you know, how much is it going to take?
What's the most you guys have ever been offered? Mine's 200.
Several hundred.
Mine's 200.
But I looked at the woman. I'm like,
mine might have been 400.
You do know she can just order another one for $150. And actually, she's going to get two.
Yeah, I was going to say, and if she was smart, she would have bought four in the first place. Because that's the one that walks away.
Yeah.
Okay, keep it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go try another bar.
And I will say that happens more often than not.
Yeah.
Like, the kid hands it to you, and you're like, and they're like, yep, see ya.
Yeah. I've even eyeballed him out of the line.
Yeah.
Staring at him and giving him the googly eyes like, I'm waiting for you.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. And I watch him just pocket it and turn around and just walk down the street.
Beat it.
You know, you get him with the visual like, mm-hmm. I got you.
Back to the whole, should the drinking age be 18? I mean, I think we're like too far down the rabbit hole at this point. Like, I don't think you can lower it now.
No.
But again, I always go back to the Europe analogy. I mean, in Europe, like, kids start having wine with their parents when they're what, 13, 14 years old? Yeah, you know, alcohol is destigmatized over there. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad. I don't know about alcoholism rates in Europe. I mean, but it's just like, alcohol isn't a big deal to Europeans in a lot of ways. I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's
so. I feel like we've kind of like.
Well, you're right, because we see, understand that, and I think what a lot of people don't understand with Block Island is, if you're working the door, you need to know what easily 20 different passports look like.
Yeah.
Never mind international IDs.
Right.
Never mind. But we don't state.
If I'm not mistaken, we don't have to accept international IDs, right?
You don't have to. But what I'm saying is, you know, these kids will come and you're like, you're only 18. They're like, it's a 21 in the States. You know, like,
yeah.
You know, it's nothing to them. They're like, oh, we can't go to the club.
Yeah.
I could go to the club in my homeland. I'm like, well, this isn't your homeland. Like, right. This is, you got to be 21.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't get that memo, apparently, but before they came over.
They would have rethought a summer at the BIG.
There's definitely a different level of, I think, when we see the number of international workers and how, like, it's just not a big deal.
Right.
Yeah.
And
I'm not saying drop it back to 18, but maybe we go back to 20 or something like that. I mean, you know, you've had your driver's license for a couple of years. By then, you should be well trained, and I gotta be honest with you, I think there's people that know not to drink and drive and people that don't give a shit.
Right.
I don't care how old you are. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
I've seen vast improvements out here compared to 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody like cabs, take a cab. People that literally live 2 miles away, I'm taking a cab.
A couple weeks ago. Patty and I came down. I knew I was gonna probably, you know, I don't go out that often anymore, but I knew that I was gonna have a few and I took a taxi.
Did you take yours?
I did. I took mine. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that why? Is that why you got a cab?
That's why I got on that taxi list so long ago. I'm like, I can't wait.
You know. Some people just wait for the kids to turn 16. Others just get a cab license.
Yeah. That's one way to do it.
I don't save any money. I overtip, of course. And I'm losing money because it doesn't have some other drunk in it.
Yeah. I mean, there really isn't anything. I mean, my kids aren't there yet. But when you have like a friend that has a 17-year-old at home just doing nothing, hey, come give us a ride. We're drunk.
That's great. You have a built-in designated driver. Right. Fantastic.
When we went to a concert up and stayed at our friend Pam and Nick's house, and you know, I said, "You got any kids in the neighborhood that he lives really close to Gillette?" I'm like, "You got any kids in the neighborhood want to make $100 tonight? Pick us up after the concert," and that's what we did.
Yeah.
Gave the kid $100 and you know, he stayed awake, and you know, he was pretty tipsy when he picked us up. But no, he was like 17, you know, nothing better than $100 was good for him. Yeah. You know,
So do we have any more funny parent stories? Because I feel like we have a few.
It's are they funny or are they just sad?
Because I think it's a little bit of both, funny in a sad way,
you know, because when you have a parent, there are some parents that are like, you know. Like last week, hey, my kid's already back at college. He took his ID. Can I have it back? No. Well, what's it going to take? I'm like, nothing. All right.
How?
Then he walks away. But then there's other that are persistent. And I can't, like, I just can't wrap my head around it. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, they could just get another one.
Wait.
Like, oh, yeah.
How about the one you caught last week on the security camera?
Oh, shit. That was good.
Tell this story.
So,
wait a minute. You have security cameras? I wish I knew that.
Yeah, no.
Anyway, and actually, Jessica caught the perpetrators.
Right.
But, you know, it was the camera. I didn't know anything. She just told me to bring the camera footage up for this period of time, and I'm watching it. And there's a woman on the phone at the bar. She's on the phone.
Outside, front
bar by the alley, right, where the stairway comes down. And out of nowhere comes this long, curly-haired, long, black, curly-haired girl that looks like she's 18 and stands right next to her. And I'm like, huh, look at this. That's clever.
Where'd she come from?
And then 10 seconds behind her comes mom on the phone with her friend. So it was like a complete stakeout type thing. All right, hey, the bartenders aren't here, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But it didn't work. Obviously, Jess is like, caught all of it, scooted over there, and was like, "Where's your stamp?" And you know, the woman's like, "Oh, I have mine." And then the girl, like, literally,
oh, they forgot to stamp me.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. They forgot to stamp.
No, she beelined it right to the door. You know, and mom was in hot pursuit.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, this is again, like.
Look, like, literally.
It's $5 goddamn.
Right.
For a cover.
Yeah. And no, you're underage.
If you're underage,
you
can't come in.
Yeah.
Right. Because the other side of, like, just people just trying to sneak in general to avoid $5. Like,
oh, God. Yeah. That's on my list.
But that's a whole different topic. Yeah. Yeah. That's like.
My favorite parent story was. I mean,
understand, like, disco is. Is attractive to all ages.
It is.
But you have to be 21.
Yeah.
And this was a disco night, and I'm sure they just wanted to sneak their daughter in to see
disco.
But no.
Yeah.
You can't. Well, it is tricky, too. It depends on the physical layout of your establishment. Like, Nick's has, it's you know, ground level right there. There's fences that are, you know, you could, I mean, you know, we're very vigilant, but, you know, things, you know, something happens and kid pops over the fence. No one's, it does happen. It's inevitable. You guys, Kristen, are lucky at Kittens, I feel like, in your setup, because your deck is raised. And then that main entrance near Winfield's, like...
You have two exits. Two ends.
But, I mean, it's like, kids can't, like, hop in the window or jump over a fence or come in the back, right?
I have a daughter that did it.
No. Certainly.
I think there I might. I might have been one of her friends. I don't know, but I
didn't say that.
But I mean, like, the locals might know that.
They'll
but,
try the window, though.
Yeah, people have tried to climb up the decks. One time, somebody tried to climb up the deck in the back and, like, fell off into the driveway.
Nice. Perfect.
Like, what?
Yeah, you know. So, back to the parents thing. My favorite one was I had a guy... offer me the, you know, come on, and what's it gonna, you know, $100, $200, how much can they possibly pay you to do this job? And I looked at him, I said, they don't. I do it because I enjoy it. And that was it. He had nothing, there was nothing from there, you know. He was like, oh.
Well, look, I asked Kristen to stop by. She's got a really busy day. If you have to split, feel free to hang out. But I just want to, if do you have any other stories you want to share quickly or anything?
I guess the one other thing that's kind of frustrating is sometimes when you're the parents, you know, try and buy drinks for their kids, like especially at the, you know, the restaurants. And, you know, so that's something. And at Winfield's, it's awkward, you know, and it, you know, you don't want to cause a scene. People are having a nice meal, but, you know, they'll keep trying to, you know, shift the drinks over to the kids. And, you know, it's it just puts the servers in a really awkward position. And then, you know, they're trying to make money and make tips. So it's hard for, the, you know. They're, you know, they end up kind of blowing their tip on that table, but they do because they're trying to do their job and make sure that, you know, they're following the rules.
I mean, that's
there shouldn't
that
be rosé in a water glass
become right now. Like, is that what this like society is?
Pretty much.
I think
ridiculous.
I could be wrong, but I think there's states that have certain laws like that, though. If you do go out and you're dining at a table.
There is.
Connecticut has
Connecticut does.
What is it? It's a.
I think the parents can consent to that, and it's really up to the
establishment,
owner, the establishment if they want to allow that. But and I think most places don't.
Yeah,
I think. I think New Orleans they also let you do it if you know if they're with
a parent. New Orleans really part of this country? I thought it was its own country.
It's like a different planet.
Or is that California? Exactly. Sometimes. I think it's California.
Yeah, you know.
Those are the only two I know. But
hey, if it ain't Rhode Island, I don't care.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it ain't Providence. you said something earlier that also triggered me. you said something about the guy said, oh, hey, I'm a police officer, right? He said he was a cop.
Yes.
And obviously not a Block Island, New Shoreham police because he's not. And, you know, did you believe him that he was a cop or did he?
No.
No. He was just
bullshitting. Well, it didn't really matter. Okay. Even if he was a police officer, I wasn't going to give it back to him. I mean, he was pretty polite about it, honestly.
Right.
Like, so he may have been a cop, but I think that when I dropped the license off at the police station and then I conveniently had another one that day. So I went back and I said, oh, did they pick it up? And he's like, no, that was a fake.
Yeah.
You know, it was, I think he was just trying to, you know, pretend he was a police officer so that he could get it back.
No, it's okay. I'm a cop. It's okay.
Yeah.
So that brings us to another point. And again, I want to preface this next segment by saying this is not a slag on all police officers. Please don't jump down our throats. But I have personally noticed that a number of incidents that we have, whether it's regarding a kid getting his fake ID back, a fight, A number of them involve off-duty police officers. You know, sometimes military personnel.
Mostly police and firefighters.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, if it's that they're so used to being the authority figure that when someone tells them no, and again, please, it's not all cops. I'm not saying that.
You can sugarcoat it all you want, but you're still saying what you're saying.
Well, I know.
I'll agree with you.
Here's what we say. I'm not saying nothing. All I'm saying is, that's what we say. Yeah,
there are off-duty public service people that feel that they are a little above, you know, it's okay because I'm a cop. I can do this or I can.
Well, what's what I find unfortunate about the... let's just call it an anomaly. It's just statistics, right?
Yeah.
When you have a problem and it's if you find out that, hey, you know, they're a police officer on vacation after the fact, like it wasn't brought up during the discussion, you know, that's one thing.
That's what I'm saying. You're right.
This is what bothers me is when it's brought up while they're being, you
punched
know,
in the face,
shut off or while they're being, you know,
yeah.
And then they're like, you know, we've had, you know, escort a couple of people out and they're like, well, you know, I'm a police officer in Connecticut. And I'm like, that's really not nothing to do with.
Right. They're using it as a bargaining chip, as a reason why you shouldn't.
That's what bothers me.
Yeah.
That's what bothers me.
That's what I mean. That's all I'm saying is that element, that dynamic exists in my experience.
Because I mean,
like multiple, not once or twice, a lot.
Yeah. It takes a special person to be a police officer.
It does.
You have to have
a
thankless
one.
Job.
Yeah.
And I think when they find themselves in that situation, probably in a bar or on vacation, and they're not given like the perk of being an asshole in a bar. I don't know.
I
don't know.
But it's just an unfortunate stat, you know, firefighter. Yeah. And it's... And we welcome everybody.
I can tell you this. One of the scariest nights I ever had here at Captain Nick's, I think it was like 2018, maybe. I was actually upstairs, and my door guy called me down. He said, Mark, can you please come down here? There's someone with a gun here in the bar.
Yeah.
And I come down, and I discreetly get the story. And so apparently there's this guy at the front bar outside of Nick's, big, big guy. And he's got a bulge in his pant line, the belt line in the waist, in the back, lower back. And when he was leaning over the bar, his shirt lifted up and he was carrying his firearm, so I kind of said, okay. I looked around and he said two patrons had come up and mentioned it to the door guy. They're like, I think that guy's carrying a gun. So I go over to the guy. Guy's enormous. I say, hey, how you doing? You know, my name's Mark. I'm the proprietor here. Could I just have a word with you real quick? He's like, yeah, what's up? And I'm like, well, you know, we've had a couple patrons notice that you're carrying your firearm on you. And he's like, yeah, I'm a police officer. I'm a cop in Long Island or Jersey, whatever. I said, okay. I said, you know, it's our policy of our business not to allow firearms in. So I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
It's a policy for anyone not to bring a fireman in a bar.
And dude, dude fucking lost it on me. Lost it. Like in front of everyone. Do you know what I do? You know what I do for you? He's like, oh, sure. What are you going to do when something comes at you? You're going to want me to be there then with my gun, aren't you? Tough guy. And I'm like, sir, if you could please just step outside so we can talk. Like went the fuck off on me. And then his girlfriend, who was also a cop, went off on me. Like, and I'm just like,
what kind of gun was she carrying?
It was an AK-47, actually. She had it in her purse. That was pretty easy to spot
Scary.
It freaked me out, man.
I don't care how experienced you are. There's no alcohol and guns mixing.
It was the scariest night of my life at Nick's, hands down.
Yeah.
One of them anyway. But anyway, I'm not trying to slag on police. Here's how that situation resolved itself. Billy Moretti, who was off duty, one of our summertime res, and Ronnie. Remember Ronnie?
Oh, yeah.
So Ronnie and Billy happened to be there. And before I approached the guy, I went up to Ronnie and Billy and explained the situation. I was like, guys, And so they said, yeah, it's your right as a business owner to ask him to leave and not bring it and put it away. So then after the guy went off on me, actually Billy and Ronnie helped and they put their drinks down and came and talked to the guy and helped smooth things over. So two New Shoreham police officers off duty assisted me in you know, handling the situation. So I'm not, and I thank them. I love those guys. So it's not a slag on police officers, but I'm just saying that experience like really freaked me out. That's it. That's all.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, my buddy Gerard Caffrey is going to love this episode. He's a cop in New York.
Oh, he's going to go. He hates me. He's going to hate me. Oh, who's doing this?
I think he hates, Trump. I don't know. It's a political statement, you know. Went to school with this kid.
But I mean, I get like particularly, you know, they come out here on vacation. You know, a lot of these guys are doing 40 hours of overtime in addition to their 40 hours of regular. Yeah. And, you know, they want to get let loose. And sometimes it just gets a little too loose.
Hey, you know what? If your day-to-day job in life is an extreme, you're blowing off steam. Time is probably going to be extreme too. And that's pretty much
that's, that's kind of the idea.
I've always said I don't know. I would never want the role of a police officer.
No.
I can't even imagine that type of of a thing. So now, while we're still on the fake IDs, my other favorite is no ID at all. And they actually just think they're going to talk their way to the door. Now, I get it if you're, you know, clearly, older. But, you know. The kid's like, what? Of course I'm 21.
Yeah.
Turned 21 6 months ago.
Yeah. Or the kids that are like, listen, I'm not 21. I just want to listen to the music. I promise I won't drink.
Yeah.
I may have pulled that one before. Yeah. And I may have worn a wig into Captain Nick.
Yeah, we've all tried stuff.
Mm-hmm. But they still knew who I was.
I may have taken a red marker and drawn a wristband on my wrist with the red permanent marker. Tonight's wristbands
but
are green.
I do appreciate the honesty. You know,
sure.
It's you know, like they're trying.
All
yeah,
right.
yeah.
Good try, kid, but sorry, man.
Like, oh my god.
I have a funny story about a New Shoreham, the New Shoreham police responding to the fake ID. We had someone on the deck during the day, and it was a group of kids, and we knew a bunch of them, and they were 21, but there was one person that we were pretty sure was not 21, and she produced a fake ID or what we thought was a fake ID. So the bartenders were like, you know, looking at it and, you know, it was, so finally and she was very confident about it. She's like, fine, go get the cops. Fine, whatever. So we call the police and they happen to be like right around the corner. So they come walking across Kittens. They get up on the deck. She looks and runs. Runs full speed down the street. And they chased her. And they caught her. They got her at like Diamond Blue or something. But they all ran down like it was like hilarious because they all just. Yeah. She was like very, very assured.
There she goes. Get her.
We got a runner.
Yeah, exactly. It was actually hilarious.
Shots fired. Shots fired.
Well, I mean, look, that's the other point. Is that like, look, a lot of this stuff is funny, you know?
Yeah,
like, it's like. You have to have a sense of humor about it at the end of the day, because, like, you know, I'll be honest. Like at Nick's, when I owned it, I was a stress case about it. Like I didn't always handle things the right way either. I would take it personally, especially with some of the local kids, and I would get mad at them and be like, you know, there's a business. Do you know what? You know, and it's like. They don't give a shit, you know. It's, and they shouldn't. They're kids. It's fine. It's not personal. It's just what kids do. You did it too.
Yeah.
And you know, some kids.
But I also didn't go into my, you know.
Don't shit where you eat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, well,
like,
yeah.
You don't, and that's, you know, there's a line you just shouldn't cross, you know, and because, you know, you live out here and you're trying to sneak into places. We don't forget.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
I don't forget.
But let's not forget.
And it's not.
You know, it's really hard for them to go to the next town.
It is.
Yeah, right.
You know, so on the mainland,
be patient.
If everybody in Narragansett knows you, you kind of slip down to like Charlestown and sneak in a bar down there or something. You know?
Right, right. Well, and the other thing is, let's not forget the ID thing. Like, you know, local kids probably aren't going to try and sneak it with IDs. But even locals that are now over 21, there's another dynamic here. Because this is stories about the door, not just IDs.
Yeah.
Now, at the door, one of the things we do is charge a cover charge.
Ah, I love cover charge.
But real quick, on the kids, so this happened this year, recognized her. Hands me ID and I'm like, there's no effing way she's 21. I'm like, yes. And I'm like, oh my God, you are 21.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you graduated. Oh my God.
I'm so old. I'm so
here.
Old.
Yeah.
Welcome.
God. Welcome.
I'm like, I had to call my wife just to make sure that this kid was.
Like, yeah,
dude. Mm-hmm.
You know, it was like the daughter of a friend. I'm like, there's no way.
So I turn around to the whole crowd and be like, I used to babysit. Point at them, you know, and they're like, oh my God.
Been happening a lot lately.
Oh, I know.
More often than I know.
It's
but
how
anyway,
old we get. Yeah, you're like, no way.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
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 And then, like, I love because three of their friends that have been waiting for them to turn 21 come up behind you, like, no, no, she's 21 now, you know? And
yeah.
You're like,
yeah.
God,
wow. Zeus. This year more than ever. Like, but, hurt.
So before we leave IDs, after a year or two of doing it, I came to this mentality. It's a game, and I'm willing to play the game with you. But as soon as you start to get angry or bitter that you're losing the game, you know, don't, you broke the rule. You made your move. We made ours. That's that. But then if you escalate it, then it's no longer a game.
Right.
And so play the game. Yeah. Try your fake if you want. We take it. We take it. And that's that. You
and
know,
even
walk
if
away.
Even if it might work once or twice, it always gets back like down. Particularly if you're working out here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Particularly if you're working out. Yeah. You might have somebody. You might have your older sister's info and like, but it gets back to us.
Yeah.
It's happened, you know, and like your name really isn't Allie. It's, you know, Stephanie.
Yeah.
And beat it.
Yeah. And I don't want to ever, I don't want to see you again for at least another 2 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So,
Or you just say their name. Hey, Stephanie, what? Yeah. Oh, shit.
They turn around.
God dang it.
Yeah.
You know, why did I fall for that one? I think one time I was actually like joking around with the whole line. I'm like, all right, who's got a fake? Oh, damn it.
Like, wait, no way.
Yeah, yeah. I started to put his hand up. Like, he was so nervous.
Oh,
like,
my God.
He just, you know, anybody got a fake ID? He just flicked his hand a little bit. And I was like, were you about to put your hand up? He's like, God damn it. He just
got to try that one.
Well, some of them are so nervous, you know.
Yeah.
It's an amazing the array of the super nervous and the super cocky. Like, you know, and anyone.
I remember how nervous I was.
Yeah, of course.
Like, I remember.
Yeah.
I mean, I was 20. The ID said I was 27. I'm like, guys, I don't look.
That's a reach.
This is. Yeah. It was a complete reach.
Yeah.
Complete reach.
Yeah.
But
all right. So
it worked.
Stories at the door. Let's get into the cover charge. That's a fun one.
Yeah.
That's a really fun one.
So I don't really know the super dynamic of a cover charge, but I'm assuming it's, you know, I collect it, but is it to pay the, you know, it's the entertainment charge.
Right.
We have live entertainment. We have to pay. Right. You're paying a fee to come in and that helps us pay.
Right. It's a ticket.
It's a ticket.
It's a ticket.
Yeah.
But for live entertainment.
Right.
People get pissed.
Yeah. Locals get pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen everybody.
Well, you're right. A lot of people get pissed.
It ebbs and flows, though.
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like your July, August to end of August. Like, for whatever reason, the third week in August, people get pissed again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like, and then I don't know why.
It's weird.
Different
so the
clientele.
Middle of the summer, you know, everything's
fun
all
mode,
fine and
fun
kind.
Mode.
Yeah, yeah. And for whatever reason, it. Just people get the last week of August.
I mean, last
$5.
Yeah, last night it happened. Yeah. You know, and this is a guy I know. You could just tell every morning pulls into Starbucks and spends $7.95 on a mocha latte, you know, supercharged coffee. But yet, I'm amazed that if you're that broke, you shouldn't be going out drinking,
right?
You know, but $5. It's not even a huge
and it's never higher than 10. And the entertainment.
It's not free
it's not free, but it's good.
It's good.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. It's good. It's like these guys. They're musicians, right?
Right.
Like I mean,
who have spent years practicing their instrument and
they're there for your entertainment. If you're not entertained, right?
Sure.
You pay your ticket. You go in and you're not entertained. Okay, be pissed. But that never happens.
No. Rarely. And I've definitely had situations where someone has come in, they've paid their cover charge. And then they go in and like 5 minutes later, they come out and they're like, hey, we're really not into this band.
Yeah.
Can we get our cover charge back?
Yeah.
And if they're, again, nice about it. Sure. Here you go. No hard feelings.
Reasonable.
You know? But, it's the people that have been in there for like an hour and then walk out. They're like, this band sucks. I want my money back. Yeah. I'm like, you've been here for an hour. Yeah.
No. How was your dinner? Well, the steak was a little overcooked and tough and the plate is like licked clean. I'm like, you should have put that up. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, it's a little overdone. Well, show me. Oh, I ate the whole thing.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. Well, how do we know that, it's overdone when it's in your belly?
Yeah.
But people put up a stink about a cover charge.
Yeah. Some do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, again, when you, I don't know, there are people that throw the, you know, oh, I have a house out here. And I'm like, okay, then it's 10.
Yeah, it was 5.
Yeah, it was 5. Now it's 10.
Right? Yeah, or, can we can we work on that number a little? Yeah. I'm like, I can go to 10, but 15 is my top. You know, size I'm on the go.
So I mean, if you have a sense of humor about it, sometimes it comes around and it's not a big deal. But there's some that were like, do you know who I am? And I love that.
Oh
one.
That's my favorite.
I love it. Oh, yeah. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I also love this.
No, I don't know you.
I love the all right, you know what? We're not paying this cover. Let's go over to Kittens. They don't charge a cover over there. I'm like, okay, have fun, you know? But you know that both places are charging a cover.
Yeah.
And you know,
5 minutes.
They're back and they pay the cover.
Give it half an hour.
Yeah.
They're back and forth.
Yeah. They pay the cover both places.
We say, look, you guys can come and go.
Yeah.
It's $10 or $5. Get a stamp. You can go over to Kittens. Yeah. They'll give you a stamp. You guys are going to go back and forth.
It gets on my nerves when it's a local that I know also owns a business out here or is, you know, and it's like, let's say this person owns a restaurant. I don't go into your restaurant and expect free fucking chowder.
Right. Yeah.
Why is it there this like level?
It's an expectation that that's frustrating.
It's frustrating.
Yes, I agree. But there's also those that, you know, particularly with the kids or industry or even ownership, whatever, you know, business owners, they come and they got their $5 out.
Yeah.
Yes. That's the other
thing. That's like, you know what? And I've been guilty of that back in, you know, in the 90s. I'm like, I ain't paying a cover, Nick's. I work over it. You know, like it was supposed to be mutual understanding.
Yeah. I did it last week.
And so I'd get chafed, but I don't, you know, that.
Yeah,
that shave. I was like, you know what? It's not. It's not a big deal. It's fucking $5.
Yeah,
and like, if the kids at Kittens don't recognize me, who cares?
Well, that's the point too. Okay, so that's the other element, and that's what really jerks me off is when it's like a local who comes to the door, and you have two
new kids
that they've never seen before. Yeah. These new door guys have never seen. They don't know
they're
this person's a local. They're just doing their job, and the local is pissed off.
Yeah.
Because the kids don't know who they are?
So
how the fuck are they supposed to know?
So this is how it works. Is when that happens, that person, that local, says, hey, I'm Joey.
Hi.
I work over at, you know, work in the kitchen at the National or whatever.
Right.
And, you know, I'm here all the time. You know, nice to meet you. You know, is there a cover? I swear to God, that works 100% of the time.
It's all you got to do.
It's just be nice.
And you
like,
know what?
And like these, I mean, I don't know everybody. Rich was this last night.
You can't.
Woman comes up to the door and she's like, hi there. And I'm like, nope. Like blank.
Yeah.
You know, just went blank.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then she reminded me and I was like, oh yes. Right. How you doing? They still paid a cover, but it was just like, hey, how are you? You know, because I had a conversation with him a couple days ago and we had some, you know, some cocktails with him. And I'm like, I go blank a lot of the time.
Dude, I'm terrible with names.
Faces
I'm pretty good with.
But even with, like I said earlier, with the kids, like,
yeah.
I don't recognize them. And then I do, you know, it's sometimes just because you're seeing hundreds of people all the time. And it's
my other favorite line. You've ID'd me 4 times this summer. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, what's wrong with that? Yeah, like, I don't, you know.
I got a running tally with one kid just because now he thinks it's funny.
You
recognize you. I still need your ID.
Yeah.
I crushed one once and I just wasn't in the right mood. And I was like, I guess you're just not memorable.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. You know, I don't know. I'm so sorry. Like, I'm just doing my job and. And you're looking at hundreds of faces a night.
Feel like these, particularly the ones in the industry that have that don't have a driver's license, right? They gotta bring their passports out,
right?
And that's their form of identification.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they work out here. They're here all summer. They're gonna be there all the time. And those are the ones I will try to remember because they lose that passport,
they're screwed. Yeah.
You know, and it's, you know, those are the faces that I will make an attempt to remember you. You're going to be here every Monday. I'm going to do my best to remember you. Bring your passport.
Yeah, and bring it a couple times.
And you know, I will remember you.
The first time I don't ask for it.
I know you're actually 29.
Yeah. 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 The first time I don't ask for it, now you know you probably don't need it.
Yeah.
You know? But keep in mind that the new guy's on the door. Yeah. he may ask right. for it, you know?
We went, we started, I don't remember, towards the end, like we tried one summer because it was a thing when the J1 workers were first really starting to come out en masse, you know? And we had a photocopy. We were like, all right, because it was such a problem. Like the kids were like, you know, we don't want to lose these, blah, blah, blah. And we're like, all right. So we got a little photocopier. We're like, all right, bring it. We'll photocopy it. We literally kept a file, a file folder of all the kids. Yeah, but it just got too confusing.
Yeah, but now they have a photocopier in their pocket.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly. You know,
and that's fine, because especially if we've seen them a dozen times already.
Right. Yeah. Oh, here's a fun one. Has this happened to you guys where people come up to you like at Kittens, Kristen, they're like, is Kristen here?
Yeah.
I'm friends with Kristen. And you're like, oh.
Really?
Really, you are.
Yeah.
I'll see if what I can she find look like? Her.
Yeah, let me go see what if she I can find like? Her.
We've had fun ones together.
Lots of fun ones. Remember?
Yeah. I think the one time Mark was sitting on one side, I'm on the other. He goes, you know, I'm friends with Mark Scortino. I'm like, really? And I look at Mark. He's like, yeah. I don't know, you know, and but didn't even recognize him.
Didn't even, he looks at me and I'm like, wow, you are? I'm like, hey, how do you know Mark?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you know, I'm like, he's from Agawam and I'm from, you know, Springfield. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's cool. So you know him from, he's like, well, you know, I'm from Agawam. He's from Agawam. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, hey, I'm Mark. And they're like, oh, hey, what's up, man? Yeah, my friend, so-and-so knows you. I said, oh, so your friend knows me. And by the way, the friend that he mentioned is an asshole. And I'm like, oh, yeah, all right, $5.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So, I used to love that question. It was my favorite one to give like 20 different answers to. Is Mark here? Are you a friend of his? Yeah. Oh, then it's $20.
Yeah,
like, up the price or, you know, Mark who? You
know, what's your name?
Like, who's Mark?
What's your name? Mark? He said, yeah. He said you owed him $50.
Yeah.
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 It's Friday. You know what that means? I'm Mark. So, where are we going with this?
Yeah.
I don't know.
How do you want to work this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Anything to get some people, it's amazing to get out of the cover charge.
But there's some things that will trigger me. And that's like, do you know who I am? Like, I just don't. Like, how do you say that?
Yeah, I saw the face.
How do you
last
say
night.
That?
Well, it's easy. Usually,
I have a house on Corneck Road. I'm like, so do 1,000 other people. Like, what does that? I don't get it. You know, I have a shop.
Well, you know, I never underestimate.
It's $5.
I think certain people with a few cocktails, it escalates how important they think they are. Yeah. You know, that's what I. You know, I think people get embarrassed. They expect to roll up the door with three friends and be treated like, you're back and your friends, come on in. Yeah. And when you're like, hey, how are you? $5 cover. They're like, that's when they get like, because the whole evening they've been telling their friends, we'll go down to the club. They won't. They have more than enough money to pay the cover charge, but it's all about that they feel like a VIP.
Their friends have no problem paying the cover charge.
Right. But you just deflated their VIP category, you know?
But they're still a VIP. Like, it doesn't make them less of a VIP.
Right.
No.
But my favorite one.
I don't know. Does it make you a VIP if you don't have to pay the cover? It makes you cheap.
Right.
Very important people help support the band and the establishment.
That's right.
You know?
And
it's,
and my favorite one are the ones not that come up with one or two friends, but the ones that come up with like
an entourage,
10 friends. Yeah. And they're like, oh, can my friends come in? Yeah. And we're like, dude, no, like we have a capacity. Like we have to, you know, make our dough to pay the band. Like, can't do it.
Speaking of making dough.
Yeah.
You mind? We're going to take a quick break and listen to our sponsors. Sure. And we'll be right back with more stories from the door.
Sounds good. Discovering the hidden gems of Block Island is one of the greatest parts about visiting. While the Atlantic Inn is far from hidden, it is most certainly one of the gems. Perched at the top of High Street, the Atlantic Inn offers stunning views of Old Harbor, Crescent Beach, and all the way back to the mainland, or America, as we like to call it. But views aren't the only thing that make this gorgeously maintained Victorian beauty one of Block Island's must-see destinations. Well-appointed yet cozy rooms offer guests all of the relaxation they need after a hard day at the beach. innkeepers Brad and Ann Marthens are the quintessential hosts, and they love sharing their expansive knowledge of food and great wine with their guests. The restaurant at the Atlantic serves exquisitely crafted gourmet fare. Their thoroughly curated wine list offers varietals and vintages that will pair beautifully with whatever you're dining on. Perhaps the greatest thing about the Atlantic Inn is their incredible tapas and cocktails menu offered outside on the deck and front lawn. Kick back in an Adirondack chair, take in the view, and breathe a sigh of relief. You can tell your friends that you finally found it. The Atlantic Inn, a Block Island gem hidden in plain sight. For more information, please visit AtlanticInn.com. Rich, you know, there is no better place to just chill out and watch the sunset than the Atlantic.
You sit out there in the Adirondacks and have a little drink brought to you. And, you know, the view is spectacular and the staff is just great.
The staff's fantastic and the tapas are out of this world.
Just delicious.
Yeah. We like to have like a little glass of wine, some olives, and just kind of feel like we're in Europe.
And they do up there. It's just beautiful. Yellow Kittens Tavern began as a Prohibition-era speakeasy, and the fun hasn't stopped since. Kittens is the perfect post-beach stopover. In fact, it's so close, you can walk there straight from your beach chair. With a shaded deck offering breathtaking views of Crescent Beach, Los Gatitos Mexican restaurant at the Kittens is famous for fresh Tex-Mex, amazing nachos, margaritas, and the iconic Block Island frozen mudslide. You want to eat on the beach? Well, place your takeout order online at yellowkittens.com or by calling 401-466-5855. Open for lunch at 11:30 to 7:30. In season, the deck fun continues until 9:30 with live entertainment and small plates available. At night, the Yellow Kittens Tavern is the spot to listen to great live music, gather with friends, and socialize. For info on live music and the infamous Wednesday night DJ dance party, visit yellowkittens.com. Block Island's longest running night spot and favorite Mexican restaurant, Yellow Kittens Tavern, located just past the Four Corners on Corn Neck Road.
I love hanging out on the deck at Yellow Kittens in the afternoon. The frozen margaritas there are amazing. I don't know what they do. They have the machine there, right? But they're great.
You know, that sounds awesome, but nights are fun too. You know, when they've got the live band playing and you're drinking and having fun with your friends. I mean, that place, one word, rocking.
Hey, Rich, guess who I'm dressed as?
Let's see. You got crown, beard, trident. Are you a professional wrestler?
No, I'm King Neptune, duh.
Oh, sorry. King Neptune. Oh, you know what? The Neptune, that reminds me, I got some family coming out and they're going to stay up at the Neptune house.
Oh, yeah. I love that place. They've got 23 modern condo style units, right?
Yeah. What's great is they've all got full kitchens with full size refrigerators. You know, maybe you don't want to eat out every night. You want to, you know, make something at home, or maybe you caught some fresh fish that day and you want to cook it on your own.
Right. You know what else? They've got great views and a heated pool, tennis courts, gas grills, picnic tables. They've even got a game room with a pool table for the kiddies.
Yeah, I mean, it's got everything you need to stay there and enjoy a great visit on Block Island. Sammy and the staff, they're always on hand. If you need anything, they're right there for you.
Sammy is so sweet and so nice. And you know what? The staff's great. And the best part is the location is awesome. You're tucked away from the hustle and bustle of downtown, but you're still a short walk to everything. The beaches, restaurants, you name it.
Yeah, I don't think there could be a better location. And, you know, they fill up quick in the summer, but the shoulder season is a great time to visit them as well. They rent spring and fall. Check their website, NeptuneHouse.com. Whoa, what happened? What was that?
Ah, dude, I just ripped my favorite pair of jams. I've been wearing these things since 1987.
Don't panic. Just go on down and see Liz at the Traveling Seamstress.
Oh, yeah. I forgot Liz is here on the island. She repairs zippers. Yeah, she can do buttons. She can patch or mend most fabrics. You know what? She even can repair denim, so your favorite jeans can still be your favorite jeans.
That's nice. You know what else? If you're getting married, say yes to the dress, because she'll do last-minute alterations, steam and press tuxedo, or your suit. She pretty much can help you out with anything to do with your wedding.
Yeah, you know what I just remembered? She also makes curtains and draperies. She can do custom dye work. She can even make cushions for your home or your boat.
She is magic with the machine, let me tell you, because she does slip covers too. And no word of a lie, she did a set for my friend, and it's like walking into a different room with brand new furniture.
I actually flew a pair of pants over to her from the mainland over the winter to get taken up, and she did that too. And I didn't have to go to her place at 442 Dodge Street by the Four Corners.
Yep, and she keeps regular hours, May through November, you know, limited wintertime hours, but you could still reach her. You
sure.
Know.
And no project's too big or too weird.
Well, hey, you can follow her on Instagram at Traveling Seamstress.
Or you check out her website at travelingseamstress.com. Okay, we're back. Kristen has to run. She's got a busy... Kristen, thanks for
thanks, Kristen.
Taking
Thank
the
you.
Time. Thank okay, you. Yeah. See you later.
All right,
see
you later. Have See fun.
You. Say hi to the crew.
Get some fakes.
We will do.
All right. oh, man.
That was nice of her to stop by. She's, yeah. she's very busy.
The other thing we didn't touch on is what other things people would do to avoid the cover.
I have it on my you list. Well, it? I wrote oh. boobs.
Yeah.
I wrote boobs.
Yeah.
This is the part of the podcast where my wife probably decides to tell me that I can't work here anymore.
Yeah, I like how you strategically waited to bring this up until Kristen left, too, by the way. Very yeah, classy. Yeah, I know. Classy yeah, move. You're yeah, a classy
yeah,
guy. You
know, pretty yeah. smooth. Yeah.
All right, let's talk about
boobs. He's
got
to be that guy who's running for office. You know.
That's true.
So now on your boob platform, as you run for office. Yeah. Yeah, so it's funny. There's actually offers that I won't even talk about on this podcast.
Of
yeah.
course there are.
No, yeah. there's certain things yeah. that you are there's, offered.
there's also a level of, so back, you know, in the days of kittens, it wasn't even like a thought, you know. It's $5. What if I show you my boobs? Okay. Like,
yeah.
Graham and I are like, uh-huh.
Right.
Whatever.
Right.
And now it's like, same well, thing happened like 2 weeks ago. And I'm like, it's $5. She's like, what if I show you my boobs? And I'm like, I will tell you right now, I'll be honest. If I'm not happy,
yeah.
it's going to be 10.
Yeah. Oh my God.
That's harsh, man.
That's and really harsh.
That's really harsh.
But her husband was like, no, they're nice.
Yeah, right? That's the thing. The husband's like, no, trust me, dude.
You got to read the people. You knew, like, you I knew read, this yeah, is yeah, how yeah. it was going to go. Yeah. You yeah, know, and it was yeah, just yeah. a joke. But I was like,
I have.
You got this. Like, I'm like, no, it's just $5.
It is
right. Thank you, though.
For
Thank
me,
you.
It's one of the harder things to say is, you know, I'm going to have to just take the $10.
Yeah,
you know?
I understand.
And they get very offended.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, one time I said
you could
to
do a, both. You could give me the $10
yeah,
and still show them. That's fine.
But,
that's
all right.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily, there's yeah. a certain, I'm the guy. What if I take my shirt off? No, thank you. Yeah, you right. know, I'm yeah. that guy. No, and there are yeah. people like that.
They, I would get the same reaction.
Yeah, three martinis, you know, makes them way more attractive,
yeah.
you know, in their mind. I literally, so one time I had a woman get very upset at me. And you know what I said to her? Really? I'm not kidding. Very upset that I didn't
want to show you
yeah,
my
that
boobs.
I didn't want to make that deal. And you know what I said to her? And it worked. I said, Miss, if I were to walk up to you in Walmart at 10 o'clock in the morning and offer you $10 to show me your boobs, what would happen? And she was like, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so what's the difference? Yeah. You know, yeah.
right.
you're just on our turf. So yeah. I get it. Yeah. And I get that you've had a few cocktails, but it's the exact same denomination and the exact same boobs.
Yeah.
But you would get very upset, yeah. probably call security.
Yeah. yeah.
And
yeah.
there's a good chance I would get
in jail.
Interrogated yeah. or arrested.
Yeah.
And she was like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know.
Yeah.
You just got to understand that.
I was just amazed know. With the frequency.
Yeah.
And it was yeah. always older.
Yeah, that's yeah, yeah.
Well, I think obviously we're living in a new era, which there's you know increased awareness into gender issues and you know yeah. women's the Me Too movement, which is I you know hey it's a I'm glad we're finally you know getting to the bottom of some of this crap that a bunch of these shitty dudes have been pulling all these years. But on the other side of that, there's the whole, you know, free the nipple movement,
yeah.
you know, and it's like, yeah. it's true. Let's face it. We all have breasts. We all have nipples. We all have whatever. Why is it all right for guys to walk around with no shirt on, but women have to be ashamed
oh, yeah, I
of
don't.
Their
it's,
breasts?
You know,
like it's, yeah. you know, but yeah, so yeah, I see it from both sides.
Oh,
I
don't think it's a like, big deal. I it's mean,
it's not. It's
you know.
Not. And look, it's all in fun, you know, it's just,
yeah.
but yeah, it is. I think it's a more old school 80s, 90s, because like, don't forget, we grew up on movies like Porky's yeah. and Revenge of the Nerds and all this, where it was like, not that it's okay or whatever, but whatever. That was our reality growing up, where it was like, hey, let's you wet t-shirt contest and all that
yeah,
stuff,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know.
Right.
So, yeah, like I really don't see younger people, I think, in their early 20s so much doing that. No, it's mostly
generational for sure.
Yeah, Gen Xers, maybe the last ones.
But. You know, and they do it, and then they pull out their little notepad, and they're like, these booths have saved me $1,430.
Yeah. They cost me $5,000, but I'm about to pay them off in another 2 years.
I save a lot of cover charges with these, you know, but and most of those cases are funny, and they're pretty, most of them are hysterical. They're having fun, and they, want to, I mean, I, that didn't happen, but I did towards the, it was either the end of my last year that I worked the whole summer. Mm-hmm. I told my wife, I'm like, look, you got to come sit for a full night with me. And she did. She came down and she
witnessed it.
Almost everything did happen. The usual shenanigans that occurs between the arguments and behavior. And she was just astonished at, you know, because I've been telling her for years, you know, you're not gonna believe, you know, it's and I said, viewing it from the door position when you're not with everyone intoxicated is a totally different view of the evening and the people's how they think and talk, and you know it's pretty fun. But she got a little eye opener and was like, wow. There are a few comments from women at the earlier in the evening and on the way in, and you know, I'm not even gonna say them, but it was pretty fun. It was fun. I'm glad I got her there to do it, you know.
Yes, that's cool that she decided to come down and check it out.
Yeah.
Now,
it was fun.
We've talked about, you know, a lot of people coming into the bar. I think one of my favorite things was, you know, after a good night when, you know, the band was good, it was a good night, everything ran smoothly. One of my favorite things was when people would leave, just like saying goodnight to people.
Oh, yeah.
And just seeing, like, you know, they're happy. How much freaking fun they had all night.
Yeah.
You know, that was just like, I really enjoyed that part of the job.
It's really fun.
Yeah.
And the comments are varied, but just people, like you said, they had a really nice time.
Yeah.
You know, and it's good.
Yeah.
And they you did. Can just tell they're on cloud nine, you
totally.
Know, just listening to the live band and they love it. And, you know, you never get a bad word on the way out, but but I don't know, except for the ones you got to
toss them out. Except for the early ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of the night, there's never a bad word.
Yeah.
No, not at the end. If you made it to the end, you're in it to win it.
Yeah.
And, you know, but speaking of the bad ones, what about, like, I feel like the really loud aggressors tend to be more all bark, no bite. Like, those are the guys I don't get too worried about. You can pick it out early. You can get there and intervene before the problem happens. Whereas, you know, I sort of feel like I don't worry as much about the guy who's going, yeah, I will bust his face open.
Yeah.
He's tending to be, you know, sort of a wants to show off in front of his friends and stuff. It's the one that
the silent.
You turn around and somebody
you
just
always
got
worry
punched.
About the silent ones in anything.
Yeah. And,
the quiet person in the room. What's their deal?
It's the dog that bites you that never made a peep, just came up behind you and got you. But, you know.
Yeah, and that's.
I mean, did you have a lot of skirmishes this summer that you could avoid?
No, like I said earlier, is it those days of expecting or anticipating at least, you know, two or three scuffles a night are long gone, and that has a lot to do with, you know, screening on the way in, but also like the vibe, like when you come in, like you're greeted, you're not greeted like with angry people.
No.
You know, it's like
I'm always like, how are you, sir?
Yeah, nice everybody's nice.
Welcome to the club, you know?
All the bartenders are nice, and it's amazing what happens if everybody's nice.
Yeah.
And if you're still angry after that, then...
I mean, like last night, there was a little aggression. There was a couple of guys that were...
They were
yelling about, but they were gone in 2 minutes. Yeah. They realized and they went out the door.
And if you have your differences, and here's the thing, is like in any establishment, but particularly ours, like we see a lot of the same people and then we see a lot of new people. And if you're having a disagreement, have your disagreement outside and then come back in and make up. Like,
just
do it outside because you don't want to do it in here.
No.
Like, you don't.
Right.
Like, trust me, just don't. And, you know, we've been fortunate that, you know, other than, you know, someone getting sucker punched, that was it. You know, like, it's everything gets
I'm sorry
resolved
about that,
inside.
By the way.
Yeah.
But the way she was talking to me, it's terrible. I do love the, I call it the AOB. It's the alert other bar system. Like,
it's great.
I love that, especially with cell phones now.
I had several pictures on my
phone of the guy like glaring at you. You just threw him out and he's glaring at you. And I just snap the picture and then you send it over to Annie.
And the look on their face when they get to your place and you're like, no. And they're like, why?
And then you show them the picture of them.
You just got in a fight across the street, or you just got thrown out of a car, you know.
And
like, how do you know that?
You are covered in red glitter.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's two strikes right there. We're not going to have the third strike being here, you know.
But that's very handy. It's very handy. We make a point of trying to get the right numbers at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
It's it's fun. You know what I hate is the people that are, what do you call them? They're like in the middle of the road, like they're just being annoying enough to draw attention and bother other guests.
Needy,
and you can just tell, and you really just wish you could just tell them they got to go, but you're trying to avoid it because, you know, those are tricky ones.
The ones that could go either way.
Like I have 20 people here are going to have a better time if you're not here.
It's like it's like at home. I have two dogs, and there's an electric fence, right? You know, a little, and it beeps if they get too close. But there's a cat. The neighbor's cat walks back and forth on the other side of that fence.
Yeah.
Right? And my two dogs just get really angry. Right?
Do they ever go through?
No.
Oh,
and that's what it, like, and I've explained this to, like, you know, some of our people. I'm like, listen, that little shithead that's dancing across just outside our property,
looking at you, smiling,
calling
giving
you names.
Shit. Yeah,
I'm like, pay no attention to it.
All right.
Pay no attention to it. All they're just, you know, like, just let them.
That's
let them
the
go.
Most anyone's ever got under
the
my
minute
skin.
Paul or Tom or one of the guys drive by and the NSP drives by, we'll just say, hey, wave them over and say, you know, we got one of those.
Got one for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and you might as well, because if the cops are busy with real problems, you're slow.
I don't
to get
want,
there.
Like, and that's the last thing. I'm like, listen.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, trying to avoid it. It's not,
you know,
we don't need any more attention to this situation. You know?
I mean, when we first really started cracking down on IDs, like, it was, again, and I told the story when Vin was on the air. It was Vinny in 2006, his first year as chief, who kind of read us the Riot Act. And we did start. And so he, you know, back then he was like, you know, call us when you need us. And so like every fake ID that we got, I would like call the cops at some point and bring them down I was giving them the IDs. I was like, the next day I'd go up to the police station and turn in a stack of IDs. And after like a month, they were like, you don't have to just keep giving these to us. We're just going to throw them away. They're like, so you can just throw them away. And that's when we started realizing, oh, we can use them for training purposes, which is what we ended up doing. But
wallpaper.
Yeah, or wallpaper.
I like it. I like it.
But the cops are too busy to be dealing with that stuff.
Yeah, and just people, like you said, that you gotta not let them get under your skin. Is, you know,
yeah, it's a big
don't
thing.
Let them ruin your night. I very seldom in like 7 years, maybe twice, I had someone get under my skin. It's almost like they were skilled at it, and they were that was their mission.
Yeah,
sure.
They decided that they were going to direct all of their attention to bothering me personally.
Yeah,
and I'm just like, you know, it's like, oh God. I don't know.
It's interesting to work in an environment like that, because you really see people's true colors, for better and for worse. Like, you see people having the time of their lives and just letting loose, and then, you know, you see people who just, like, it's their chance to just uncork or whatever, you know? But
I find it interesting to talk to the guys that work the door, and they always introduce themselves, but in other places.
It's
like, you know, in the big city or whatever, and you're like, so what's your big problem? And they tell you, you're like, holy shit. Really? Oh God, this is a walk in the park.
Which
it is, you know, keep things in perspective, but you know.
And I've approached I've done the approach too. Like, one night I was working and there was this dude in there and he was massive. He towered over me by 3-4 inches. He was built. He was big. He definitely the full tats and everything. So I'm looking at him and I'm like, I walk over to him like, how are you doing? And he goes, I'm good. Why are you asking? I'm like, well, you're the only guy in here I really, really, really don't want to have a problem with. you know, so I'm coming to you first. It's just kind of, yeah. And he started laughing.
Yeah.
He said, oh, yeah, I've been a bouncer forever and, you know, been stabbed, I've been shot at. You know? And I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. And we had a great laugh. And, you know, he was actually visiting his son, was a waiter up at the Spring House.
Yeah,
you know, but I figured I'll be proactive. Let me get a vibe on this guy before.
Yeah. You
know,
right.
He's, because I'm not going to survive.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I'm not going to survive this one. The cops will be calling to get me picked up, you know?
Right.
And so I just went over. I'm like, hey, buddy, how are you doing tonight? Why are you asking me?
Yeah.
I'm like,
yeah.
You're the only one in here. So I figured I'd start a conversation, you know? And end up working really, you know, good in my favor. I don't know.
That's fine.
My other favorite one that happened a couple of times in my years there was I call it the four-way mind eraser. So you decline someone entry because they're too drunk.
Yeah.
And they go, and then they wander around. You know, they went over to Kittens.
Oh, yeah,
denied there. And then they come back as if they've never been here. And they really don't remember that they were.
Yeah.
And they'll do that like three or four times throughout the night. Just back. Oh, well, Kittens will let me in. I'll go to Knicks.
Yeah.
Oh, Knicks will let me in. I'll go to Kittens. And I think they spend an hour going back and forth, and it erases out of their mind that they were ever at your door and declined, you know, sorry, we can't let you in. Okay. And they're nice and they disappear. And then 20 minutes later. Hey, how are you? Still not going to let you in, you know. But they don't even know they were there.
And some of them just make that face, like I know you can't see the face, but it's like they were.
Oh my gosh,
too funny.
This is rolled on forever.
I know we've been
this is a long one.
I could go on forever more.
Oh yeah,
so many stories and so much. Any last thoughts? Anything from anyone?
I don't got anything to say.
It's the job. It's just a interesting window into
society.
It's totally got to be like there's got to be like some thesis on it somewhere.
Yeah.
Like if there's not, there should be. It's
the
like,
Door Guy Chronicles.
It's totally a memoir.
Yeah.
It's like you see.
Oh, yeah.
It's just funny.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I'd like to leave with is, again, you know, we like telling fun stories about everything, but you know, I would like to remind our listeners to spread the word to your friends, and especially, again, with all the bad press Block Island's been getting in terms of it being a party place and, you know, it's going to hell in a handbasket. Like, just please realize there are a number of establishments out here. And again, I can only speak for us here at Knicks and Yellow Kittens, because we have a great relationship with the Kylies. And, you know, we're doing our jobs here, and we're trying to provide a safe place for people to come and have a good time.
Yes.
And, you know, there are other establishments out here that are doing the same thing we are and trying to keep things safe. And, you know, just remember that when you're reading all the headlines about how terrible everything is. Yeah,
keep being safe and following the rules and doing what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you want your kid's ID back, it's a lot more than $200.
Right. And my final note is, as much as, you know, we enjoy a little chit chat, you're ultimately out here to hang with your friends, so don't hang with me.
Right.
A little quick 2 minutes is great, and then, you know, go on in and have fun. Like, you know, I don't want you sitting on my lap and pulling on my beard.
Yeah.
You know?
No. Yeah. This isn't JCPenney's in December.
If you were in your police uniform, you wouldn't be doing this right now. I guess we'll wrap it up.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, thanks for stopping by, man.
Anytime.
And good luck on the ride in the race.
We'll keep
everybody posted as to what's happening with that,
too. Awesome. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. See you next week.
Do you want to remind our listeners how they can get in touch with us?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes,
If you want to reach out to us in any way, shape, or form.
Just come see us at the door.
Yeah, just come see us at the door. Just use email for that reason. Oh, I sound like a bumbling idiot.
I'm sorry.
You did. I totally forgot.
All right,
if you want to reach out with any questions or comments, please do. And you can reach us at twoguysonbi@gmail.com.
And don't forget to follow us on all the social media channels and wherever you listen to us. Please hit the subscribe button and subscribe to our podcast. And most of all, just tell your friends.
Yeah, tell your friends.
Yeah.
And we appreciate you spreading the word for us.
Right.
Thanks for listening.
All right. See you next time.
See you next time.
Hey, Rich.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to just try and start making some fake IDs just for kicks, for hobbies, you know, for a hobby. Do you have any suggestions on what I should do?
Why don't you do like miniature hand-painted self-portraits?
Ooh, that like with finger paints, you mean?
Yeah.
Like finger paint a fake ID. Like,
Just kind of blur your
idea.
Yeah, and, you know.
All right. I'm going to go get some finger paints.
All right. Do it to it.
Okay. What shall we do with the sailor? What shall we do with the sailor?
Say, Lord, what you doing?